Very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen and others. We always want to be inclusive here. And yeah, for those who might not know exactly where they are, well, good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And thank you, David, for passing the mic to this side of the world. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So it's a beautiful Tuesday morning, the 24th of February. It's only about 4 days to go before we say goodbye to February, you know, goodbye to February. So welcome to your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And thanks for joining us at this point in time. You're most welcome. So you're most welcome. And we love being in your company. So it's a beautiful morning, nice and cool. Hopefully it's not going to cut. Yeah, some nice and cloudy and a little bit cool. Hopefully it's not going to get hot as the day progress. So yeah, wherever you are, a very good morning to you. Where are you listening us from? From which town are you listening us from? Welcome. And some of you guys, we haven't heard from you for a while now. What are you doing? Where are you? What is going on? We want to know what is going on. So we want to know that those, your town is still with us. Not only with Eagle FM, but is with us. You are still in Namibia. And we're not hearing anything from you. All right. So take part. Be part of the conversation. National dialogue that we bring you. So where are you doing? Rundu, what are you doing? Where are you? Katima, we're missing you. We're missing Katima, actually. Yeah, the coast now and then. The south. So what is going on with you? Where are you? Where are you, guys? We're missing you. Yeah, Windhoek, of course. And Oshakati, Ongwe, Diva, Ondangwa. And Opuwa. And what is that? Otapi. Yeah, we all want you to be here, okay? This is our parliament, okay? This is your parliament. So welcome, my name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your parliament and your daily dose of what is really going on in business in terms of business news, economic news, and politics. So every weekday, we are here, and we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and headlines and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty sometimes, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger national conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and then get to the heart of the stories. Our time is 4 minutes past eight, and welcome. And if you're just joining us, you are on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. And we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So I will be with you until around 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Tate Franz from the capital. So make sure that you tune in for that program coming your way around 10 o'clock. And on the rest of programs that will be coming your way throughout the day today. So we do what we do, and well, yours is just to sit and listen and also take part in the discussion. So as usual, we start with our first segment, that's looking at this day in the history of Africa. So on this day in Africa, the 24th of February. So good morning, Africa, and welcome. Welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we are turning the clock back to February 24th, and we have a lineup of history altering moment, you know, to get us through. Now, from the halls of power in Egypt and to the street of Accra. So let's get right into that. So first, we travel back to 1945. It was the day of a higher drama and tragedy in Cairo. Egyptian Prime Minister Ahmed Maher Pasha was actually standing right in the parliament, right there in the parliament, and he just finished reading a declaration of war against Nazi German when he was assassinated, right in the parliament. And a shocking moment that sent ripples across the region. So moving forward, just 4 years to 1949. On this day, the guns fell silent between Israel and Egypt. So the two nations signed a formal armistice agreement, effectively ending the hostilities of the 1948 Arab-Israel war. So it was a crucial step forward. It was a crucial step toward stability in the Middle East at that time. Now we come to perhaps the biggest stories of the day for our continent. February 24th, 1966, Ghana's very first president, Kwame Nkrumah, was on a trip to Asia when his government was toppled. It was a joint operation by the military and police, so led by Colonel Emmanuel Kotoka and Major Akwasi Afrifa. So they established the National Liberation Council, bringing Nkrumah's rule to a sudden end. And this remained one of the most significant early military takeovers in post-independence Africa. And finally, looking at more recent history, we go to the year 2000. The Democratic Republic of Congo was deep in the Second Congo War. On this day, the United Nations Security Council stepped in, authorizing a force of over 5,500 troops. The mission, known as MONUC, was sent to monitor a ceasefire and try to bring peace to a war-torn region. That is your look at history for this day, for this February 24th. Thank you for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. So welcome. All right, our time, 8 minutes past eight. And looking at what is our thought for the day today. So what is our thought for the day? So don't visit your neighbor too often, or you will wear out your welcome. Don't visit your neighbor too often, or you will wear out your welcome. All right. Now, the Proverbs means that every good relationship needs boundaries. Every good relationship needs boundaries. It warns that if you spend too much time at someone's home or depend on them too frequently, they may become tired of your presence. So what started as a friendship can turn into annoyance if you overdo it. Okay? Now, the wisdom behind it is respect other people's space and time. Don't take hospitality for granted, and moderation helps maintain a healthy relationship. So I think the lesson from the proverb is that friendship grows stronger when people balance closeness with respect for personal boundaries. And whatever choices you make today and decision make you make, make sure that you respect personal boundaries. All right? So that's our thought for the day. Don't visit your neighbor too often or you will wear out your welcome. So welcome. And what you can expect today in the show, if you're just joining us, what you can look forward today in the show is that, you know, now this was the minister acknowledged that in the parliament, acknowledging that the current rental laws are completely outdated. Okay, the Namibian government is progressing now with a plan to re-establish rental control boards. So, and draft a new legislation and a new legislation to address affordability and oversight in the housing market. So that's our discussion, and I hopefully you unpack that with me. And if you still have time, is that the Scaling Up Namibia platform, Scaling Up Namibia platform has been launched, and this has been launched actually That's just to strengthen the SME growth and the innovation ecosystem. So we're going to look at that as well and other stories that we may have not touched on yesterday, if we still have a time. But you know, this is your platform. Your participation will also be part of the show, of course. So welcome. We'll be back in a second.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia, ompito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Of course, this is the eye. It's 13 minutes past the hour of 8. So where are you finding yourself? Where are you listening at us? Where are you listening at? Well, from which town are you listening to us from? All right. So, and how are you listening to us? Whether you're listening to us from the radio or from the app, you know, and what I would like to say is that make sure that you download the app, especially during this time of rain season. Sometimes, you know, technology, you know, fails us. And, if you have your app, you'll be able to be connected whenever, wherever, you know? And I always tell people that that's where, you know, technology is going. That's where we are moving at. So sooner or later, you know, you will be just listening to, you know, to radio or to any broadcasting through that, through the app. All right. So let's have this quick commercial and then we will be back. Stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation. When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
That's right. The you in UNAM is definitely you. Okay? And a very good morning. And the you in Eagle FM is definitely you. All right? So good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listener. You are live with Unpacking the Day, the show where we break down the news that shape your life and my life too. So whether I, you, now, what are we going to talk about? It doesn't matter where you are in terms of whether you're owning a house, whether you're renting a flat, whether you're sharing a room in Wavish Bay, whether you are struggling to find affordable housing in Oshakati or Mudiva, this conversation is definitely your conversation, okay? It is your conversation. And imagine, you are a young professional, okay? Let's put it in a picture. Let's paint a scenario. So you are a young professional. You know, just got your first job. So you're excited, of course. You get your first job. Now I can move out in my mother's house, you know? Yeah? Now it's your opportunity. You find a place to rent. And the landlord asks for a deposit equal to your month rent. Eh? Ask you a deposit equals to your month rent. Plus the first month's rent up front. That's 2 months worth of money before you even get your keys. Two months worth of money. Yeah, before you even get the keys. Now, is that fair? What do you think? Is that fair? Or is it, maybe the question we should be asking, is that legal? Have you ever asked yourself whether that actually is legal? Where is that? Eh? Well, our government say the law meant to protect you has been sitting dormant since 1990, since independence. 35 years of independence, and we are only now waking up to fix this. Since 1990. Now, I ask you whether it's fair or is it legal. Do you know if it's fair? Do you know if it's legal? As I said, the law that protects you, it has been just sitting dormant. Eh? So, for 35 years. Now, let me take you back. I'm going to take you back to 1977. 1977. That's when the Rents Ordinance was written. Now, you ask me, what is the Rent Ordinance? Now, think about what Namibia looked like then. In 1977. So, I want you to think what Namibia looked like then. Apartheid was still the law of the land at that time. You know, the internet didn't exist. No, there was no internet at that time. Can you imagine? There was no internet at that time. Mobile phone were science fiction. It's something that you watch in movie and say, no way that's going to happen. Because you only used to those lines, you know, telephone line cables. So I said, how would somebody talk to where there's no line coming into your phone or something like that? So at that time, you actually said, as I said, mobile phone that time was just a science fiction. It's movies that you watch thinking that could be that 77 still black and white movie. I mean, black and white TV could be. No, it wasn't. I think that I was born by that time as well. So the Namibian dollar had not even been born. The Namibian dollar. So you know, by that time, haven't even born. And yet, the same law is supposedly governing your rental agreement today. Yeah? The very same law from there is still actually the one that's governing your rental agreement. Do we have actually lazy lawmakers? Is this about being, or is it the law still actually, well, it's not still actually relevant, because the minister stood up in the parliament and said it's outdated. So the minister responsible for urban development stood in a parliament and openly admitted something, how does it, remarkable. Something remarkable. He said the law is, in his own words, completely outdated. Completely outdated. And of course, 1977. Yeah? That's completely, completely outdated. Well, give it to him, because how often do you have a government official speak that blindly, you know? So now, he acknowledged that the penalty written into the law, fines of 200 Namibian dollar, so were perhaps appropriate. Now, those fines were perhaps appropriate for 1977, but make absolutely no sense in 2026. So imagine fines of 200. Now, let me ask you this question now. You know, if the government knows the law is broken, you know, what does that mean for all the tenants who have been paying excess deposit over the years? Eh? What about those who have been evicted unfairly? Now, if the law is broken, and the government know, what about landlords who have been operating in a regulatory vacuum? You can put that in inverted comma. It's kind of like who have been operating now in a regulatory vacuum. Should there be consequences, I think? Or do we just say, whoops, well, let's move on. Let's move forward. So what should be done? What should be done now? So what is the government planning to do? I think that's now the question, after how many years? After so many years. So they want to bring back something called a rent control board. That's what they want to bring back. This board existed before independence, but have been essentially non-functional for decades, for years. Now, the plan is to hire, the idea is actually to hire consultants, specialists in property law and valuation, through an open bidding process. That's what they want to do, through an open bidding process. So this expert will help draft a new legislation that reflect the reality of our housing market today. Okay? So now, let's now look at that. Let's break down what rental control board will actually do. What would they do? Okay? So the idea is that they would regulate how much deposit a landlord can ask for. At this point in time, It's actually supply and demand. It's determined at this point in time, it's about supply and demand. You know, it's not about law. There's no law that regulate that. It's supply and demand. So, and especially when we don't have, and I think especially when we don't have houses available, you know, a person decides, well, if you don't take it, there are 100 people on the line. There are 100 people who are actually waiting. So you take it or leave it. So what do? You're forced to take it. So what it would then regulate how much deposit a landlord can ask for. Under the old law, the limit was meant to be 50% of 1 month's rent. 50% of 1 month, of 1 month's rent. Imagine that. Half a month's rent as a deposit, not 2 months. You remember the scenario I gave? You were asked to pay upfront deposit of your full month rent, and upfront month rent. That's 2 months. But the rule, the law actually requires, here's the, under the old law, the limit was meant to be a 50%, 50% of 1 month's rent. Now, so the board, this control rent control board would also look at whether the rent being charged is reasonable compared to the property's value. Ooh, that's a bit dangerous. No, okay, depending on the property's value, it's, while the property value is always going up. Okay, the old law said rent should be should not exceed 9.5% per year of the property's value. 9.5% per year of the property's value. All right, that, now let's translate that to today's market. Okay, a property value at 1 million Namibian dollar. Okay, I wasn't good at math, but I did my math, you know. Okay, let's see. A property value at 1 million Namibian dollar would yield an, let's see this, an annual rent of $95,000 under that formula, okay? Under that formula, it's $95,000. And that is roughly, that's roughly $8,000 per month. You see? I can work that out already, you know? But probably it's more than that, okay? But if you walk through, you know, Windhoek North suburbs or Windhoek West suburbs, you will find modest apartment renting for far more. Yeah, for far more than that formula would suggest, actually. So either property valuations are inflated or rent are disconnected from reality, or both. It could also both. It disconnected from reality and the property valuation are inflated. So because in some areas where the property value could be less, the renting per month is absolutely so higher. So you see, we can actually even work out this. Eh? So now, and here's something that might surprise you. Okay, that might surprise you. The ministry responsible for housing and urban development does not actually regulate the rental market. It's not the one that actually regulate the rental market according to this, according to the old law that we have. Should I say the old law or the current law? Because that's the one we have. You know, that responsibility falls under the Namibia's Estate Agent Board. Namibia Estate Agent Board. Now, which report, and this board now report to a completely different ministry. The Ministry of International Relations and Trade. Get that. Now, think about that for a moment. Now, what does it mean is that housing policy is under one ministry, rental market regulation is under another. Is it any wonder that things have fallen through the cracks, really? And this raises a serious question about governance. It does raise a serious question about governance. When responsibilities are scattered across different ministries with different priorities, who is actually accountable? Who is accountable? The minister admitted that his ministry currently has no legal power to regulate rental prices. And we continue. After this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. So our time's 30 minutes past the hour of 8, and we were just talking about the governance, a serious question about governance when responsibilities are really scattered across different ministries with different priorities. So the question is, who's accountable? Who will be accountable? And this is actually happening across, not only in terms of these issues, you know, this is happening. This is how the government is actually structured. You have, you know, a decision is taken, is actually responsibility. This responsibility is, this ministry is responsible for these, and the decision is made in some, in other ministries that affected the other, you know, the other ministry. It's just, you know, it's just completely a mess. And then when it comes to accountability, you have a problem. And the minister admitted that his ministry currently has no legal power to regulate rental prices. So this, that means for years, the government department mostly directly connected to housing has been watching from the sidelines. They have been watching from the side. And they are the one actually directly connected to the housing. So while tenants and landlords navigate a broken system, really. Now, let's talk about property valuation, okay? The minister made a crucial point. So as long as property values remain higher, rental prices will stay higher too. So that is because rent is tied to what a property is worth on paper. According to that law, I just gave you an example earlier on. Now, but who decide what property is worth? Now, who decide what property is worth? The government is setting up a new council. For property valuers under the Valuer General's office. Okay? Now, the goal is to bring consistency and oversight to how property are valued. So sometimes you have to actually applaud this administration, because it's putting up, you know, there has been really holes in the system. There has been really holes in the government, you know. But here's the question, though. Now, will this actually bring the prices down? So would this now bring the prices down, or will it just make the higher prices official? It could be just, well, we are now in charge. We have now this an oversight, whatever. Now we're just making this official, you know. So, yeah. And remember what I said earlier on. Now, any economist will tell you that prices are not just about regulation. Okay, prices are not just about regulation. They are about supply and demand. Okay? That's what it's all about. It's about supply and demand. So let's look at supply. Okay? So now the government mass housing program still has 572 units sitting in incomplete. That is about 500. If you have to put it in, if you have to quantify that in terms of human life, that's 572 families waiting for homes that were promised. You understand? If you're still sitting with some unit that are incomplete, it's about families waiting for homes that were promised to them. So meanwhile, 400 new units will be built with the Chinese grant funding That's according to the stories that was covered by, what is that? By the Windhoek Observer. So there will be some unit now will be built with Chinese grant funding. The build together program continues, and the Shack Dwellers Federation gets also annual support. And, but ask yourself this, okay? Are this number really enough? And of course, it's a big no. It's a big no, a fat no. Namibia population is growing. Young people are moving to cities for jobs, which they don't get anyway. So, which are not there anyway. So the demand for rental housing keeps rising. As I said, this is about supply and demand. So, and if we regulate rents but do not build enough houses, then what happens? What happens? You regulate rents, but you don't build enough houses. So landlord might supply, you might simply stop actually renting out properties. They may simply say, okay, see what you can do. Or they might convert them to other users. They might leave them vacant rather than accept that what would they maybe consider too little to rent. This is a delicate balance the minister actually mentioned. He warned that reform must be implemented carefully. It must be implemented carefully to avoid destabilizing the property market. And I think one have to look at that and say, well, that's a legitimate concern. Okay? But I'm asking you, what about the million of tenants who have been living in an unstable situation for years? Where does their protection becomes the priority? When does their protection become the priority? All right? That's a question. And that brings us really to the level on the ground. It brings us now to what it means for us. The ordinary. You are listening to this show. You who are listening to this. What does all this mean? Maybe you might be a tenant. You could be also a landlord. Or maybe you are both. Who knows? What does this news actually mean for you? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for your life? All right. So if you are a tenant, it means, well, I think what it means is that potentially help is on the way. That's what it means. Help is potentially, I'm putting their word potentially on the way, but it also means you need to be patient. So what it means to be, you will be patient. You should be patient because this is still, this whole process is still at the procurement stage. All right. It's still at the procurement stage. Consultant, still need to be hired. Remember what I mentioned earlier on. And a new bill still need to be drafted, debated, passed, and signed into law. You see that process. So we're looking at months and possibly years, not months. Especially given our parliament, this parliament, we're looking at possibly years before you see any real change. Seriously. So be patient. But for you as a tenant, there is that possibility. There is help is potentially on the way. All right. So if you are a landlord, this might feel like uncertainty knocking at your door. You might not know what is going to happen. What will the new rule says? How will they affect your income? Will you need to adjust your deposit, your rent, your contract? What? As I said, it's more like uncertainty actually knocking at your door at this point in time. So the minister says existing law must still be followed while the new legislation is being prepared. But if existing law are outdated and largely unenforced, okay, the issue that we have of reinforcement, they are largely unenforced. What does following them even look like? Haven't been followed for years. So, and if you are neither a landlord or a tenant, maybe you are that young person still living with your parents because you cannot afford to move. You cannot afford to move out. So this news might feel like too little too late. But it's also a signal that your struggle is finally being acknowledged. your struggle is being acknowledged at the highest level. Yeah, it's true. It's being acknowledged at the highest level. Yeah. So now, all right. What I want is really to, when you come through, there's these things maybe that we need to, that I want us really to think about. Okay. Let me throw you a couple of questions that tease out what I'm thinking. Now, if the rent control board have been dormant, it has been dormant since the independence, why did it take 35 years to start reviving them? Why? What changed now? I think that's a question. What changed now? What was it? The public pressure, maybe? Political will? Could be. Or simply that the problem became too big to ignore? That could be. The later could be the case. Maybe the problem became too big now to ignore. So inflated as a property value and all that, as we said, and then make prices goes up, render prices goes up, and kind of we can't. Woo. That's why we end up more in informal settlement, have your kabashu. Even people who can afford end up actually having kabashu somewhere. So yeah, we most of us leaving our houses in towns and go to our rural houses, you know, so that we give up those for rent, you know, survival, my friend. So yeah, second. So we talk about consultants. There was a consultant would be hired. So who will this consultant be? What interests will they represent? Will tenant advocacy group have a seat on the table? Will we need something like that? I think we need, seriously, we need something like that. I'm going to start my union, and my union would be on, it's representing the tenant. I'm giving you this is a business idea. Yeah, it's a business idea. I'm gonna have a tenant union. All right, I will be representing those who are renting. Okay, for your complaint, and yeah, it's a good idea. Or which union has represented them? Yeah, any union that represented, there are those that represent workers, different workers and whatever. So, but I'm going to represent the tenant. Okay? So whenever you're going, so before the board comes, because I know that's going to actually take too long. So I'm going to create this union. I'm going to be your representative and have, you know, making sure that you are not charged, inflated rent, you know, prices. So yeah. So all right, I'm putting out there. I will have my union tenant union, how would we call it? Come up with ideas how we'll call this ours. You can join me and have our tenant union, tenant advocacy union. Yep, got it already. Tenant advocacy union. It's called TAG. It's TAG. TAG. Okay, so it's gonna call TAG. It's just fitting. It's fitting. We're gonna start that. Okay, all of you come through and say you're gonna join me on that TAG, on TAG group. Okay, on TAG, tenant advocacy union. No. It's not TAG. It's TAU. That's actually TAU. All right. Yeah. So yeah, those are some of, you know, things to think really. Will like small scale landlord be heard? There's also other things. I would also represent the small scale landlord because, you know, or will the process be dominated by large property developers and institutional interest? So yeah, the other question is really something that we always talk about here. The enforcement, you know, law enforcement. And I'm not talking about police enforcement, police, you know, here. So, because even the very best law, the very best laws are useless if they cannot be enforced. Even the very best law is useless if it cannot be enforced. Who will monitor compliance? What penalties will apply to landlords who break the rules? How will ordinary Namibian access justice when things go wrong? So, number of things we can think of on and talk about. So, yeah, these are some of the issues that I'm just broadening what we looked at for you when you come to think and have ideas and solutions to those. Is rent control even the right approach? Is it even the right approach? Some economics argue that controlling rent reduces the supply of rental housing. What do you think? They say landlords will simply stop offering properties for rent if returns are too low, which is, of course, then why would I actually continue doing that if the return is too low? So others argue that without control, tenants will continue to be exploited. Where's the balance? Where is the balance? So, please do come through and have your say, our telephone number, and we come in to you from the Ondango studio, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So, what do you think? What is your take? And yeah, try to answer some of the questions that I'm asking. I'm broadening the idea of a rent board that they want to reestablish. So 08333 66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, don't miss your favorite. Don't miss your favorite show. Welcome back. Don't miss your favorite show. And that's why I said have download the Eagle FM mobile app, because if you miss it, you don't miss it, because you can go back and go to the podcast and just replay your favorite show, like Unpacking the Day. You might be busy doing something. You could be in the meeting or whatever. You couldn't be listening. You could be now listening live. So what you do when you go back, just go to the podcast, Unpacking the Day. You listen. You miss nothing at all. All right? So make sure that you if you are new and you haven't had this before, do that right away. Do that right away. Yeah? You will thank me. All right? So now, yeah, what have we discussed so far in terms of this? So Namibia rental law, Namibia's rental law date back to 1977 and have been largely non-functional since independent. Non-functional. So the government has finally now admitted these laws are outdated. So then what do? The Rent Control Board are being reestablished through a procurement process for specialist consultants. They will, you know, and new legislation is being drafted. So there will be now a new legislation that will be drafted, you know, taken to, you know, debated about, made, you know, be the law, and then later passed as a law, like the normal procedures that have been followed. Now, the rental market currently falls under the Namibia Estate Agent Board, Agents Board, which report actually to a different ministry than housing. So this now, this fragmented oversight has contributed to regulatory gaps. So, and the higher property values, the higher property values are directly linked to higher rents. You know, the higher property values also are directly actually linked to higher rents. So the government is working on improving now oversight of property valuations. Okay. Now, housing supply remain a challenge. I mean, you know, this, and I think that what I'm saying, it will be difficult for house to become, you know, rent to be affordable, because if we have housing supply as a challenge, with 100 of mass housing unit still incomplete, regulation alone, will not solve affordability. It won't solve affordability. So, if you have it in more supply, the cheaper would become. But when it's now scarce, the demand of become higher. Now, reform. So definitely, this reform will take time. I believe so, given, you know, how other bills and the process and drafted bills are going through. They are really going on a snail pace. It will take time. It will take time. And this is not the first time. Yeah, surely this is not the first time this has been discussed. There was, I remember, some other years. I wasn't here, but, you know, it was not that I was here. But some at one point, this was actually, it was a topic being discussed at one point. Yeah. So, yeah, I think reform will take time. And in the meantime, both tenants and the landlords operate in legal uncertainty. Okay? So do whatever you want. Now it's about do whatever you want in the absence of the law. In this absence of the law, do what exactly what you want, isn't it? All right? Hi, Mike. Here I have a WhatsApp message that's coming from one responding to this issue also. Hi, Mike. It's Dr. Omu. Rent control is a price control. Okay. Setting rent and price control is so complicated. So I wonder whether the rent control board will have such expertise to set such floors. All right. It could have worked if most of houses were council houses. Uh-huh. So that it could subsidize the difference between the market rent and the set rent. All right. It is non-starter. The tenant will also underground. The tenant will also go underground to pay the market rental rather than having no accommodation. Of course, definitely. Resulting from the rent control, it sounds politically correct. But patronizing a rent control is a tough call. Operationalizing rent control is a tough call. So the rent control will be another toothless bulldog draining public resources. Exactly. So same sentiment. All right. So thanks for your contribution, Doctor. All right. So you can do the same and by coming through 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So do come through and have your say on this. It's a quite interesting one. So if you have thought, question or your own render horror stories, you know, so we want to hear from you. So we want to hear your voice matter in this conversation. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Big Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm all right, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are back and forth with the rent control board.
Yeah, I think it was, there was a discussion at one point.
Job Ampanda proposed it so earlier even, when it was, before he was not even elected to be mayor. Yeah. And, mark my word, they sat it down like they are not interested even to listen to him. I think for me.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's a good gesture, but seriously, we have to look progression when it comes to it. Because remember one thing is that you can just do whatever, especially when it comes to black market.
Yeah.
It's really hard to control it.
But this, okay, in the way things are now, it's very, the law is an old law, It's not being reinforced. First of all, it's being reinforced. Actually, we are operating in a vacuum. And then the tenant are being exploited.
Very much.
You know?
Because I can put it for a place anytime I want.
Yeah.
As long as the electricity go up, me, I also am going up. And sometimes it's not necessary.
Yeah. And the lack of housing. That actually determines the renting prices.
My friend, it's demand and supply. If the supply is very slow,
yeah.
Why should the demand is very high?
Mm.
Why should you not take a gamble? Because you know that yes, either you like it or not. Because a person is being forced. Yeah. Let me say now you are living in Pioneer Park, or not living even there. Let me say your kid been admitted at one of the near school.
Yeah.
Now, as a parent, you're living in maybe Vananda.
Yeah.
But you're still lending. And then you think about even looking for a place to lend somewhere where your kids nearby, school nearby. So, any place you find,
yeah.
I'm a friend, you have to, because you are forced to.
Exactly.
And this is what is happening in Hindu.
Yeah.
My friend. Not a lot of people, they are interested to buy a house. It's what I'm always advocating that, no, why our council, who told our council that they cannot do business when it comes to municipality?
Mm.
My friend, wherever you go in the world, council are having flats. And this flat are making a lot of money for councillors.
Mm.
But in Windhoek, we do it a different way, where we give individual to land on behalf of the city of Windhoek.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are talking about even like banks. You are talking about individual even from... How many times have we been heard that some of them cancer are having flat in Windhoek?
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to happen like that. It's supposed to be flat for cancer. Because remember, when you are even transferred from Wells Bay to come to work in Windhoek, you might live in that accommodation because it's really cheap. A student who's come to admitted to UNAM or NAST, they can come there because it's very cheap to learn. But they will guess what?
Yeah.
Now our position, they are the one who are controlling the flat instead of municipality.
Yeah. So, but what the doctor also mentioned, Dr. Omu mentioned that it would have worked if most of the houses were actually council's house. So,
exactly.
Yeah, but because now they are privately owned, that would be actually very difficult, you know?
That's a serious problem. It to be hard.
Mm.
Because you can put it up a law. Me, I'm the one demanding, I'm saying it's my house.
Yeah.
If you want to come and live in my house, this is the price which I'm charging. Then you can say, no, the control board there, who is going to there if I know I need a place?
As you're also referring to say that will be just another toothless bulldog.
Exactly.
Draining public resources,
work.
You know.
It will not work. And now remember, they always come with a CEO even, and they don't know what did the CEO have to do with even the control board. I said it will be like one up on the NASAF.
Yeah.
A CEO, but
yeah, I CEO know, for but, the no. Rent control board, you know.
I'm telling you, there's many people who are trying to
and so many, and so
but
many
that's
stuff.
The way to get to find the gap. If you know there's something
maybe,
really happening.
Maybe it's another chance creating a job for somebody.
Yeah, it's a job of creation.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I'll come later if you come with a second topic.
Yeah, no, definitely. You're welcome.
All right, my brother.
Great. Yeah, remember, democracy is not just about voting every 5 years. It's about engaging with the issues that affect your daily life. All right? So housing is not a luxury. It is a basic human need. It's a basic human need. So how we regulate it, how we provide it, how we protect both tenant and landlord says everything about the kind of society we want to build. So what is your saying? What is your take? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Yes, doctor.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine. Thank you for getting a chance. I also want to pass the debate.
So go ahead, man. Yeah.
Yeah. This issue. I was also thinking. Thank you that you come up with that this platform.
Yeah.
I was also thinking one day of this kind of thing. If the government can come up with a board that can control the renter fees. Because in my opinion, I think the landlords at some point they are charging too much the tenant, or they are draining too much the tenant.
And do you know why? And do you know why they do that?
I know, because there is no price regulated.
Of course, there's no. First of all, it's supply and demand. Second thing is because we are not building houses. People they need accommodations, and they left without no options.
No option. That is another thing. But I think that is a discussion of another day.
Yeah.
But the issue is. Just imagine, I think if the government or the councillor can come up with the idea to regulate the prices. For example, where you are renting in Kleinwinduk, maybe you are renting a house. The price there in Kleinwinduk for the house, the whole house, must be at some level. Because the services there that you are getting there, it's at a higher level.
Yeah.
And if you are renting, a room, again, also in town.
Yeah.
Again, it was supposed to be different from the one in the location.
Mm.
You find a room in a single room in a location whereby you have it, the owner is asking you to pay even more, 4 point something, in a single room.
Yeah, more than somewhere in Windhoek West or Eros.
In Windhoek West, you know. And to make the matter worse, there are people who live in ghettos.
Yeah.
Not even the better ghetto like the one for Honorable Benani. You remember the one in Windhoek? Yeah. No, not even of that standard, a ghetto of that standard. A ghetto of a very worse standard.
Yeah.
Somebody is renting there, and he will be requested to pay like 1.2 or 1.9 or 2,000 in a ghetto whereby his property will be damaged by rain when the rainy season comes.
Yeah.
His property will be stolen by beggars when they enter, because they can enter easily.
Exactly. Yeah.
You see, there is no security for his property when they have been damaged or they have been stolen. It's his own problem.
Yeah.
The owner, the landlord is not a part of that. But I'm paying 2,000.
Mm.
That is how I, in my opinion, I think the red board should, the rental board should come in and say, okay, let us regulate things. Because we have taxes in this country. They are operating in different towns.
Mm.
But they have the same fees.
Yeah, don't you want to join my union? I want to start a union, a tenant advocacy union, you know?
I would be the first to join.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's not a joke, ne? Because
it's like a joke. It sounds like a joke, but it's a serious matter.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Like the previous caller who was saying, he mentioned something valuable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are things that force you to do things that you never plan to do. For example, the school.
Yeah.
The school or the you live in Windhoek.
Yeah.
You end up getting a job in Karasbel.
Mm.
What are you going to do? You don't know. You have never been in Karasbel, for example.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? And the only option, the price that you get or the room that you get, the price is 4,000.
Yeah.
There is no other choice but only to pay.
Exactly. Mm.
But if things was regulated, then we can say, okay, a single room is just 3,000 or under 3,000.
Yeah.
It's fall under 3,000. A house, wherever the house is, in town, or if you are renting a whole house, then it should be this amount. Just like a taxi.
Mm.
If you are driving in a municipal area, then you have to pay $13.
Yeah. Mm.
All over the country.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long the distance, you know? Yeah.
It doesn't matter how long the distance.
Mm.
This is how really, I was also one day thinking of that, to say, oh, this leader, our leader was supposed to intervene here, because really, imagine a person is working at somewhere, is earning like 3,000.
Yeah.
He have a family to support. He have also his life.
Mm.
But now it's like you are paying in your rent, where you are renting, you are paying 1,900.
Yeah.
what is now, what are you working for now?
What are you left up with? Like many people in, who are actually, who are from rural region in Windhoek or in Swakop, now they are working in Windhoek or Swakop Moon or Wavish Bay or Lutris. They spend all their money in terms of food, transport and rent. They don't do anything at home.
They don't make any profit. You understand? And another thing that make me even laugh.
Yeah.
Is that the municipal, ne? Also, I don't know these people whether really, I don't want to mention what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But because imagine we are renting in a earth. Let me say the yard, the backyard.
Yeah.
There is 10 ghettos in that yard.
Mm.
They are renting there. And they are paying that water bill. The water bill of that house is 500.
Yeah.
And each ghetto you pay a water fee of 500.
Mm.
How many of you are going to pay 500? It's 500 times 10 is how much? I was not good at mathematics, you see?
Welcome on the group. Welcome to the group.
500 times 10.
Yeah.
And then the rent road is going to pay only 500 at municipal because the water bill is just 500.
Yeah.
But he have already made a profit of those all 500 times 10.
Exactly.
And now, you see, it was who should be make a profit at the end of the day? Is it not a municipality? If a municipality have allocated these 10 people who are living in one elf, if he should, if they should allocate 10 elves for these people, these people will end up paying, each will pay his own water bill, which is 10 now, 500 times 10 is 2 municipalities.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know where are these people's mind. Because the public at the end of the day, we also smiling because you only pay your 500, but the property is at least yours now.
Exactly. Mm.
Now you are paying somebody's property for 20 years.
And at the end of that, you end up with no house, you know?
With no house, with nothing. You just get your suitcase and move home with your 60 years.
Yeah.
Again, you go back with, you left nothing for your kids.
Yeah.
You spend 20 years, more than 25 years in Barber's Bay, and you go back home without nothing.
Yeah, no, it's true. Someone said to the way we do things, we're manufacturing poverty. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's true. But now I think this generation now in the parliament, they have to make things easy.
Yeah.
For the benefit of the people,
yeah.
the local people.
Yeah. So they can only do that when we engage this kind of topic. Otherwise, you know, if they don't become national conversation, so they won't. You know, we need to give pressure. We need to, you know, to really engage in this kind of discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
All right.
Okay, let me give chance to others. Okay, thank you.
What is your name and where are you calling from? Because I think it's the first time I'm hearing you. Yeah.
I am the unknown soldier calling from Barber's Bay.
Okay, good to have you. All right.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes, Wavish Bay is here, and Rundu, Kiermansuop, and Opuo, and Oshakati, where are you? Katima, haven't heard you for a while. Don't you have housing problems? Don't you have rent issues? What is going on? 0833-66-091. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia. This is your favorite topic.
Meu primo, meu irmão. Ele tem problema, ele tá mal aí.
Ah, não tem problema.
Não, tá bom, estamos bem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just like to ask let me say like domestic workers.
Yeah.
What is the maximum salary for domestic workers? And I want to ask the same question to say now.
The maximum of what? How much? The maximum of
the salaries. Maximum the salary of domestic workers.
Yeah, now the basic the minimum wage is about $18 per hour, so one can figure out that, yeah. Mm.
Okay, I think I don't think everybody is paying the same. But it's okay.
Of course.
I want to know now.
Of course, now, it's not.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. What now is the targeting of our government to build houses for the poor? Let me say so. I'm included. I'm not saying you are poor. I'm also included.
Yeah.
I want how what's the government the target of building a house for any region? We have 14 regions. So, what's our target? Our government come to it must give us to say this amount with is the amount of house we build for the poor in the country. Do we have that?
My friend, we have a backlog for houses after years. So we're not even close to our target. We missed the target already. So many years.
I'm happy, as you say, if you don't talk about it, yeah. The things just go like that on. Because they think we are happy, we're not happy.
Exactly.
We want to know the target of houses for the poor. Yeah. That's what we want to know.
That's a good question, because what are the target specifically for the poor? Because there are even houses that have been built under the organizations that are meant to provide affordable houses, but those houses, first of all, they are not the target are not reached, and some when the houses are done are still more expensive for the people that they are targeted to.
Yes, especially when you go to these shack dwellers.
Yeah.
You know, Shack Dwellers Federation is there maybe to help the to get this to come up with these systems, but they don't. If for them to get the land is a problem in the municipality. They don't get the land because, you know, the land is belong to A, B, C, D. So now the government itself, how far are you to meet this kind of problem? Now, house is very expensive because if you build, maybe, let me say, energy, if you don't have a payslip, I won't get the house in energy.
Yeah.
And what, I mean, Namibian. So which benefit will I one day going to sing when I'm singing my SMs are in the these big meetings. I'm busy things. Namibia. I want to be proud.
Yeah. I think we need to do audit housing in terms of, okay, maybe not, that's not the right word, but audit housing in terms of who own houses in this country. Okay. So that maybe the reasons why the law is not being enforced, the reason why there's no interest from the government point of view is because maybe those in the government are the one who own the houses that are being rent, you know, and why would they want to miss that? Why would they want to lose that benefit? You understand? Yeah. So we need to have some kind of audit, you know, housing audit, who own the houses, you know?
And the house in Namibia is so expensive, expensive.
It's because of the demand and supply, yeah.
Yeah, I think the times of this, when the people like this guy coming from Angola, bank house cash, things pump from there. The same with the, you know, you remember the cattle in the north? They were so cheap, those years. And these guys come from the US dollar, they automatically the price fly to 10,000 the cattle. But those things should be controlled. We should have a control of those kind of prices. Because if you just fly like that, who's going to be in here? It's the poor. It's the same as I saw like an American yesterday, like the Trump increase again from 10 tariffs to 15%. So everybody's making America say, no, this guy is killing us.
Yeah.
You know, you are seeing the new entrepreneur who are coming on board, though. So they are killing them. So now we also want the same question. How many houses the government build per year for the poor. We want to know that thing. If it's not, if it doesn't exist, should be exist now from now on.
Yeah. No, let's see.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I think that's my point, my brother. Thank you. And bon dia para você ali, meu irmão.
Thanks for coming through, yeah?
E boa sorte.
All right. All right. So, control board, re-establishing the RAND control board. So what do you think about that? And why has the government never really, you know, reinforces this? And yeah, what is your take? 0833-66091. What is happening in your, in terms of rental in your area? Is it affordable? Would you say, for us, piece of cake, you know? So are you, are you also, you know, experiencing the same, you know, higher rent as anywhere in the country? So call us. We would like to know from Rundu, from Katima, from other part of the world. Okay. Rundu, you're quiet. What is happening? I need to find out what is happening in Rundu. The Rundu people are so quiet. Or they are too, you know, or they are too sure of themselves or what? Okay. Or you think Rundu or Kavango West and Kavango East is a country on its own. So we don't want to be part of the, of Namibia. So we, Kavango West and Kavango East is a country on its own, eh? All right. So, hey, get involved. All right. 0833-66091 is the number you can call. To have your opinion and your perspective on this. All right, we are not going to stand still. We aren't going to stand still. We have to move forward. And when we come back, we're going to look at the Scale Up Namibia platform that has been launched, what it's all about, and would this a change? Would this be something? Would this be a game changer, as people say? Or it's just something that, you know, is those documents or whatever that we're going to still hang up on the shelf and gather dust. So that's what we're going to look at. Scale Up Namibia platform. That's we're going to look at when we come back. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahita tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that's right. If you love what we do on this program, you can also sponsor this program, Unpacking the Day. And, to do that, just talk to our office about that. All right. Welcome back. And good morning to you. If you're just joining us, you have missed out. You have missed us. Next time, start at 8 o'clock. You know, we start at 8 o'clock. We get on the boat. We're coming in the class at 8. If you come after 8, you have completely missed a lot of lessons. All right, but you haven't missed. You know, you're not out completely because we still have enough time.
for some more other stories around the country, what is happening around the country or around the world. You know, 24 minutes past the hour of 9. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So the government has just launched something called the Scale Up Namibia Platform, SUN for short, S-U-N. So, okay. So that means I'm going to start my whatever, my union, tenant advocacy union, TAU. Okay. Please make sure that you are, you're part of that, union. All right. So now SUN for short is a Scale Up Namibia platform. Normally Scale Up Namibia. Where is the U coming up or up? Oh, okay. I'm kind of looking at where is the U? Scale Up. Oh, okay. All right. So now, they say it's going to transform how we support small businesses and spark innovation across the country. So that is the promise. But what we need to ask ourselves here, and is this another well-intentioned initiative, like many others, that will, as I said earlier, probably just gather dust on the shelf somewhere, or is it something that's really going to make a difference? So, but let's unpack that. Let's unpack that together and see how is this going to make a difference? How that's going to make a difference? Or what are they saying? How they are going to make a difference? So let's take you back a few years. Let's say you are a young entrepreneur in, doesn't matter. Let me put you in Windhoek. You're a young entrepreneur in Windhoek. You have got a brilliant idea, a tech startup that could actually revolutionize how Namibia access agriculture service. Okay. Now you are talented, you're ambitious, and you are ready to work hard. Okay. You are so ambitious and you're ready to work hard, but the reality hit you. The reality hit you like a cold morning wind from the, you know, when you're in Swakop, what is that? Is that the Atlantic? Yeah. They're like Atlantic Ocean. You know, the reality hit you like a cold morning wind from the Atlantic Ocean. Now, what is the reality check? What is the reality that hits you? Of course, you need funding. You need funding. So there are 12 different places. There are 12 different places you could apply. But nobody can tell you which one fits your needs. Okay, there are about 12 places that where you can apply, but nobody can really tell which one fits your needs. You need mentorship. There are programs scattered across the ministries and agencies, but you know, finding them, it feels like, you know, searching water in a Namib desert. Good luck, you know, to find any. So now, and you need infrastructure. That's every year. You need an office where you can operate. You need infrastructure. Good luck figuring out who offers what and where. You get an idea? Now, this is what now the Deputy Minister of Education and Innovation used that long name for that ministry. Okay? Sometimes you just get exhausted reading the name of that ministry. Yeah? Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture. By the time you finish that, you're kind of like, you're out of your breath. Oh, gosh. So, yeah. So this is what the minister actually of that ministry described when he spoke at the launch. So the problem, he said, is not that Namibian entrepreneur lack talent or ambition. Definitely not. That we know, the problem is fragmentation. So our support structures are broken up into pieces that don't talk to each other. They operating in silos. Okay, we continue this after this break, after this commercial.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetwa weda ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu wali rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyu nevya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwesto twika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yopia nja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeve vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeve hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Pomiedia Murongo na Vivari Moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, tima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
My friend.
Yeah, welcome back. As I was saying, the minister, the deputy minister of that long ministry, of that ministry with that long name, I avoid saying it because every time I read it, I get exhausted at the end of reading it. So he's saying the problem is actually fragmentation. You know, fragmentation, our support structure are broken into pieces. Then on top of that, they don't talk to each other. Aman, she's actually talking about the government. So now let me ask you something, okay? Now, think of like you're in a class now and I'm asking you a question. You raise your hand if you have ever tried to navigate government services for your business. Let's say for your business, whatever business that you have. Have you ever navigated government services for your business? Okay, so up your hands, raise your hands up. Now, keep it up. If you felt like you were going in a cycle, you know, if you felt that you were kind of going through a cycle, now, how many of you, those who have your hands up, you know, eventually just gave up? So that's why sometimes people try to, you know, to start and try to do something, but they just, from one office to another, from one ministry to another, eventually, you know, they are no. And this is what the minister say. The deputy minister actually saying, eventually you kind of like get exhausted and give up. You know? And exactly. That's what I thought. So we all have been there. We all have been there. And that's exactly what this new platform now is trying to fix. Okay? This Sun, this Namibia scale-up platform, this is what is trying to fix. So, what exactly is Sun promising? What is exactly Scale Up Namibia? What is that Namibia? Yeah, Scale Up Namibia. It's promising. Let's see. Let's look at it at the five pillars that they are talking about. The platform is built on five pillars. And I want us to examine each one critically, because this is where, you know, in English they say it, rubber meet the roads. All right. So let's examine exactly each one of them. Now, the first, the platform is building on five pillars. The first one is, first, there is funding. Hallelujah. There is funding. Okay. The promise here is that entrepreneurs will have better access to financial support. Well, when I hear that, it's not that I'm being cynical. It's because I hear that too much time. I hear that many, 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 many times. But I'm still hearing, you know, SMEs or entrepreneurs having problem of accessing funds. Now, the question is, where are these funds? Where are these funds? Of course, they are available. So even some institution, financial fund, financial institution actually have fund sometimes, you know, earmarked for entrepreneurs project, but do actually even know them? Do even actually know that there are funds like that available? So now when I hear this, that the promise is that entrepreneur will have better access to financial support, well, don't blame me when I'm so, what is that? When I'm so, not cynical, but when I'm so, when you are optimistic. And when you're not optimistic, what is that? You are not optimistic or, what is the other word? I know the word. It's not optimistic, but yeah, when you aren't, yeah, when the opposite of that, okay? It's because we have had this promise before many, many times in many platforms. You know, how many funding programs exist right now that most entrepreneurs don't even know about? The question isn't whether, now the question isn't whether funding exists. It is whether it reaches the people who need it most. That is the question. Well, let's see how this SUN, this Namibia scale-up, would actually do. You know, as I said, that's the question. It's not about whether funding exists. The fund exists. You know, there are many funding programs. But the question is whether it reaches the people who need it most. So the second pillar is infrastructure. Now we're talking about now workspace. Okay? Internet connectivity, the basic tools business needs to operate. So now in a country where rural areas still struggle with reliable electricity, for example, and internet access, how will this platform, okay, how will this platform bridge that divide? That's what I'm interested in. How will it actually bridge that platform? I mean, how will this platform actually bridge that divide? Will an entrepreneur in Omsati have the same access as the one in Commerce? Entrepreneur in Katima have the same access as the one in Commerce or as the one in Wavish Bay? So that's my interest. Okay. What they said, the second pillar. So let's see. So we can't judge them without already implementing what they say they will do. So they're just starting. I'm just trying to open your eyes to what you can look at. So what about rural and urban divide? Will they be able to attend? That's why I'm asking. Would it reach the people who need it most? Even this infrastructure we have in the rural, where we have people who have ideas, but do they have spaces where they can operate? Now, that's where we want you to go. That's what we're asking. Or you were just operating around Windhoek and said, well, eh? So the other pillar is the brand awareness. This one caught my eye. It caught my attention. How do we make Namibia innovation how do we make Namibia innovation visible? There's so many things that are happening in Namibia, but how do we make them visible? Not just within our borders, but to the world. Namibia is not known. Because we are not making our innovation visible. Otafiko kana kenya kadengirwa pedu. We like that. So when, you know, we need to, to not wake up when we need to wake up. Yeah? So we need to make our innovation visible to the world. So we have incredible talent. Namibia has incredible talent. There is incredible talent in this country. But sometimes it feels like we are the best kept secret in Southern Africa. So you know that we are the best kept secret, you know. We are the best kept secret in Southern Africa. So we need to go out. We need to go out. We need to make our innovation visible. All right. And the fourth, what is the fourth? The fourth pillar for this platform is ecosystem data. The ecosystem data. This is about knowing what exists and what works. Okay? So these are all good things. These are all good things, really. And that's why I started at the beginning. You said, is this now that's going to make a big difference? That will bring some changes. And we were talking about earlier on, we're talking about the act, either it's an act, either it's a policy that has not been reinforced. We're talking about many other, you know, platform that has been launched, you know, where are they? You don't even hear. We almost come into it was somewhere launched earlier on when at the beginning of the budget, at the beginning of the of fiscal year, and up to now we didn't hear what they have done, nor report what they have achieved. And normally when they are launched, they are not launched with some kind of deliverables. Well, they are launched with some objectives. This is what we will achieve. You know, some objectives in terms of what we want to achieve, what we aim to, but not with deliverables. What are we expected to deliver? And those deliverables must be smart. Smart in terms of that they are specific, they are tangible, they are, the other one, TA is tangible, smart, they are measurable. Smart is measurable, tangible, specific, you know? Yeah, smart and tangible, okay? So those are the things. So normally it just launched with objectives, okay? This is what we aim to do, A, B, C, D. These are the pillars. All right. But where are the deliverables that are smart, that have really, really task that say this is what we are going to do by November this year, by July this year, by whatever, this is how much we should have, this is what we are going to achieve. And then we will know how to assess you. For now, it's just global objectives or general objectives that in the end, you know, you don't know how to how to measure that. So do we know, right now, do we have honestly know how many SME are operating in Namibia? I'm talking now the ecosystem data. Do we know how many SME operating in Namibia? Maybe we do. Do we know which support programs actually deliver results? Data sound boring, but the data, when we talk about data sound boring, as I said, I like numbers. People don't love numbers. I love numbers, but even if I wasn't good at math, but without it, we are flying blind. We don't have evidence-based plan or vision. You need data. And this is an area that has been neglected, even within our Institutes of Higher Learning. These are some of the departments that are very, very, very weak. Not very weak because they want to, it's just because they are not funded. And how do you develop a country without data, without evidence? without evidence-based data that tells you the problems. As I said, we are flying blind. We are flying blind, and that's very dangerous. And the fifth pillar is the capacity development. Okay? Training, mentorship, you know, skill building. So the things that, now this is now the thing that turn a good idea into a sustainable business. Okay? Now here's my question for you, all right? Now, if we had to prioritize just one of these pillars, which one would transform most lives? Which one from that would transform most lives? Think about it, okay? And I will come back to this. All right. Now, let me tell you something that the chairperson of the National Commission on the Research, Science and Technology said at this launch as well. So he pointed out something profound. I will call it, I will say it's something profound. And I want you to really hear this, okay? Now, starting a business is hard, okay? It's not something easy. It's hard, but the issue is also that scaling it up, that's why Namibia scale up, you know, platform probably. So now scaling it up, I mean, scaling up a business, that's where the real battle happens. Because you can tell me how many companies actually that started as startups, businesses, and now they are flourishing businesses in Namibia. Not many. We don't get there. Actually, most of the time, we go back. Okay? We start, and then in 3 years, you won't hear that company anymore. We won't hear that business anymore. A very good morning. Good morning.
Yes, being like...
Yeah.
It's a good thing that they're coming up with something.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Definitely, because I'm telling you, I'm the one who's been even advocating for this. Like, no, if you kill SME bank, why should you cannot revive something which keep our people to at least to have a chance?
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, it's optimistic. What is the way down? It's optimistic, or if you're not optimistic, you're what?
I didn't forget the word also. Something like that. You are not optimistic, but something
like that. I don't want like kind of like be
kind of the
demoralizing the thing is.
Yeah.
But we come to a point where we say I will believe when I see it. You understand? Yeah. We have come to that point where so many things has been promised.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was even this, what was that, the launch that we have, now, am I getting old or what? You know that business things where we have everyone.
Not the one where the funding, the youth of between what? 18 to 25.
No, not that one. It was that one. Yeah, it was the one that it's kind of like that would now watch over, kind of put all even business together with the government. What is it? It would want to work together with the government. It's a body now. It's a body that has been launched sometime, and up to now we didn't hear anything. You know how that is actually doing.
Even up to now, we're still waiting for second phase for the those one for phase five.
Yeah.
Our people, they know how to do things.
So
we have a lot of magicians, man, who can make a turnaround strategy until we become so dizzy.
That's a nice one. The turnaround strategy until you become.
I'm telling you, and the thing is that when you are doing things in discipline.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
When you are doing things in discipline, you might think you are doing a favor, but somebody who's checking the loophole of eating, he put his eye on there. that yes, let us establish this, then I get away with this money, then it become a way of like with the way we do things. Because like now we are talking about we are a lot.
Yeah.
And we are all desperate. Like now, when I'm talking to you, I saw some people in Havana, I don't know what, Kamo, Kauko, something, Kauko, they are registering the Kamo for embroidery. And I was like, yeah, it started yesterday. I saw it yesterday there. I saw these people today in the morning again when I passed by that side.
Yeah.
It's a soccer field. And now when you look at the way you are talking about, like now they are waiting for finance for funds.
Yeah.
The problem I think we have is that we are too, having too many organizations are funding the youth, but yet we don't see any tangible result. They never come back that how many youth they empower, how many of them they are doing well now, how far them with them for mentoring.
Exactly.
Never. We just do something, we drop the money on the water, we never go back to check even that maybe now the dam is dry, our money is now in multiply.
I mean, I was even expecting when the president when was he spoke to the nation, when what was the thing, the last thing that the president actually spoke, what was it all about? I'm forgetting. Today I'm not on my right, man. Now, I was expecting. I was expecting now the president.
No, you are not. It's not yet over, my friend.
Yeah, you know, it's always play on your mind, you know. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. So you, as you're thinking, as you're processing this thought, you're thinking, okay, the school fees is not paid, and then it distracts you.
And then there's a land coming up.
Yeah, you know.
Some of us were landing. Yeah.
You know what I was expecting is also to have now, because we should be proud now, saying, look, we have given the youth money. I mean, we supported the project, ne? The project, the youth fund. Now, how many of them? How far are they? How are they doing?
Exactly.
What? How many people have they employed so far? You know.
Oh.
And what kind of now we should be seeking dasha. You know, things are not going well, because this we like to boast about things. Seki wedding with this, something is not going right, you know?
That's why I'm asking you, but how far out there with the second phase when it comes to this 18 to 35 years old youthful empowerment?
Yeah.
We know, we're supposed to know, but up to now, they are quiet. And remember, this money is already budgeted and is put aside, and it's only how many... 42 or something, and beneficiary.
And imagine yeah. that, and we are going now to the second, we're starting now with the new budget.
How come they are not telling us?
How much money that we're not used from the 25-26,
No, man, that's the problem I have with Namibia. We do things, but we know, we never come back to the media that this is what we've done.
Yeah.
The follow-up is this. Up to now, we never know. But now they are coming up with something again. And then remember, it's not a bad thing, but for us, some of us, we've been hearing this thing for over and over. It's become like, you know, just a story of the day. It's always that they do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they even, that's what you are looking for, man. It's
pessimistic.
Like a,
the word is it pessimistic? Yeah, no, I don't want to be pessimistic.
Yeah,
that's what I was looking for. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's optimistic. Yeah, because we know our government does always say that, and they never come to the reality. It's always just a dream, and the dream which we have. Yeah, but for me, seriously, I'm always advocating that no, let us try again. Back, SME must come back. Because what I'm saying, though, we have a lot of money running down, man, like Social Security. Where is the money going? Why is Social Security not investing in SME bank?
Yeah.
And the DIPF, where they are now, they are giving a loan. That loan can be terminated out of what? SME bank. Because if you are having a loan to give it to the to beneficial of they are taking their retirement to buy a house.
Yeah.
Do it before our time then. Why should you go back again? Or give it to Nampos. Nampos maybe can create some banks around.
Yeah.
Why should you give a commercial bank with it? They don't give anything when it comes even to our Namibian people. Like a drought is always there, but you never see these people are coming on board.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, sometimes it's this, you know, I was listening to one official, I'm not going to mention his name, talking on a TikTok or Facebook, I can't remember. He said he went to a certain country, and there wasn't a good idea that country is implementing, and said, we are going to implement this in Namibia. Now, the thing is this, sometimes it's like many of us have ideas, like you have certain business ideas. You didn't go to any length to understand. You didn't even marketing research. You haven't done any, target research or whatever. All that is needed in a business plan. You haven't gone to a length actually really to. So, and sometimes you find you get money and you get money and you start, but because you didn't consider in depth other areas, you neglected. It just sounded a very nice idea. And sometimes our country do that at a national level. They find a good idea, but they didn't really, really examine, how this will go or put a proper plan into it. Yeah.
You know, Mike, the problem of our government is that they don't do consultants with the people who are going to be affected by their decision.
Yeah.
They do it, their decision, when they are at the watch and the house at the watch break. Or where they find themselves, when they find the location.
Yeah.
But the reality is, we know our problem of our people. You know, when you are coming to like us, we will tell you what we need.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not a good idea to you because you want to be a multi-billion dollar with 1 month.
Mm.
But everything has a step. And when I'm saying that, I look at our even where we live in Kasutura. We don't have even a cinema. Nothing. Yeah. Totally nothing.
Yeah.
We don't have even a swimming pool with like a private. You don't want to tell me we don't have a club where people who can be swimming. I mean, our kids can be in the club for swimming pool. Or even tennis court. Nothing. But even you go and present this and say, no, I'll buy a house, demolish it, put a swimming pool, try to tell people you can have your club for swimming pool, where even sometimes you can be organized by these guys. When the Olympics come, you can send your athletic there for qualification and what. It never happened like that. There's nothing, even you write that proposal, they will never consider you because sport is not having, it's not regarded as also what? Income generator.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see now. That's what they are going to tell you at the development bank.
Yeah.
Because they are telling you you must have a turnaround of what? 10 million a year or one? Yeah, 10 million a year. Come on, man. Mike. We are on our own.
A turnaround strategy until you get dizzy.
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry, man. Anyway.
All right, man.
Shop,
thanks for coming through. I love that one. In a turnaround strategy until you get dizzy, talking about, as I was saying, starting business is hard. One, looking at the pillars of that were of the startup, Namibia startup, not startup, scale-up platform. So, yeah, when you look at, as I said, scaling up a business, that is where now the real battle happens, And think about it. We all know someone, who started a small business. Some of us, maybe you and others we know, started a small business, a car wash, a catering service, a hair salon, whatever may be. They survive. Maybe they even employ two or three people. But growing beyond that,
breaking into small market, or even breaking into now the regional market, yeah? Or or becoming a company that employ 50 or 100 people, that's where the most Namibian entrepreneur hit the wall. Most of us, most of entrepreneurs, not many pass through that wall. You know, not many actually pass through that wall. And the NCRST chairperson said that the SUN, the Namibia Scale-Up, aims to bridge that gap between research and development on one side and commercializing on the other. So in other words, between having a good idea and making money from it. Okay? So now, and how many brilliant ideas have died in Namibia because the person who had them couldn't navigate the path from concept, because they don't have the ability from the concept to market. You know, how many innovators or innovation are sitting in university labs or in minds of ordinary citizens, in your mind, waiting for someone to connect the dots? So, yeah, those are the questions. So what our time? Oh, it's already 10 o'clock. Oh my good Lord. Yeah. So, well, yeah. There are a few things that, I wanted to still touch on. But anyway, okay. Let me probably just sum up. This is what it's all about. Now, the Scale Up Namibia platform is addressing a real problem. Okay. Fragmentation. I think that's what it's addressing. And our entrepreneurs have been navigating a broken system for too long, for too long. And anything that brings coordination is actually worth, it's worth watching. Okay. So the five pillars that we talked about, funding, infrastructure, what is the other one? Brand awareness and data and capacity development. You know, those covers, they cover the right basis. I think they cover the right basis. But the success of this platform will be measured not by what is written in policy document. We know we can do that. But how it changes the daily reality of entrepreneurs. And we're talking about the entrepreneurs in Gobabis, entrepreneurs in Katima Mulilo, entrepreneurs in Ludrits, in Rundu, in Opuo, everywhere and in between. Excuse me. So the shift from supporting survival to enabling scale, I think is very significant. It's very, very, and one can emphasize that. We don't just need more smaller, we don't just need more smaller businesses. We need smaller businesses that can grow into bigger ones. So that's what we need. So now, is this about investment or maybe visibility? Maybe one can ask the question, but visibility without substance, visibility without substance won't fool anyone. Okay? It won't fool anyone. A list of all the investors we're trying to attract. So sometimes that's what we do because that's what we want to do. And maybe finally, and perhaps most important, this platform will only succeed if it remain accountable to the people it meant to serve. You know, that means you, Namibian, the voice, your voice matters. Okay? Your experience matters. Your feedback matters. Okay? And this is the challenge for you now. Okay? If you are an entrepreneur, engage with this platform. Okay? I want you to go and engage with this platform. Test it. You know, test it if it does what it say. Push it. Demand that it works for you. Because that's what it says. Go and demand that it works for you. And if it doesn't, speak up loudly. And because change, it doesn't happen when we stay silent. Okay? It happens when we refuse to accept the status quo. All right. So end this unpacking the day. And that's where we end up at this morning. And let me leave you in another capable hand of the man they call, or he call himself, Mbarangaja. Okay, coming up with Kuthamosha, Tate France, over to you. And from me, Mike Oshoveli, I see you tomorrow. We talk tomorrow again. Let's do that at the same time here on the same favorite, your favorite radio station. Bye.